Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 12th, 2011, episode 291, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's a Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody, and we are thrilled to have you with us this Monday morning. I tell you what, we had a heck of a weekend. We had a lovely weekend here in Lexington. I hope you did as well. Jamie will be joining us here in just a moment. She seems to have lost her way and is trying to find her way back.
I'm back. I think I'm having these technical difficulties, Glenn. I am so unbelievably sore. Like, the entire right side of my body hurts so bad right now from something I did yesterday.
Why you're having technical difficulties?
I'm sure it's related somehow. I'll have to reboot my computer here in a minute. I can't use my right arm, which is the thing that I use, you know, to reach forward to the mouse. So I think I need some help, maybe some surgery. I don't know. It just hurts so bad.
Did you get bucked off again?
No, worse. Worse, we officially hooked up and played our Wii last night.
It's a common Wii injury when you're new to Wii.
My arm hurts. My hand hurts. My shoulder hurts. My whole body hurts. And Chad was laughing at me because he was like, you know, you don't have to use your left hand to throw the ball up when you're playing Wii tennis. He's like, you just serve it. I'm like, but I can't.
I love Wii tennis, by the way.
We did Wii tennis, we did Wii bowling, we even played a Wii fighter pilot game, which, by the way, I actually almost beat my husband at. He crashed into the water twice, and I did not. I only crashed into a mountain. So, it was a night of video games in the Jennings household, and I'm paying the price today, that's for sure.
Sorry about that. Well, you know, we got to meet the cutest stinking little, and when I say little, I mean a tiny, tiny donkey you've ever met in your life. He's now boarding at the farm where we keep Beaker.
Oh, mini donkey?
Yeah, and I tried to get Darcy sent the pictures over to me, but I couldn't get them out of my phone. I don't know how she sent them, so I'm going to try and get pictures later today. This thing, I am not kidding, comes up to my knee. It is tiny. His feet are the size of a half dollar. The tiniest thing you've ever seen. And so cute. He's 4 months old. He's out in the field with all the big horses, and he looks like this. Well, our greyhound's bigger than he is. He is tiny. It's so cute. Apparently, the lady, when she brought him over to the barn, put him in the back seat of the car.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
She had him in the house, apparently, had this little donkey in the house, and for some reason, I don't know if the landlord got upset or what, but she had to board the donkey. So I don't know, Jennifer might know more about the story behind it, but
the donkey?
What a, Yeah.
Donkey did arrive
thing.
At the farm in the back seat of the car. And near as I can tell, the donkey weighs approximately 60 pounds. He's too freaking cute.
I know. I'm going to try and get pictures for you today because I just haven't seen one this little before. So cute. You're going to love it when you see it. And he's got the big ears, and unfortunately, the tip of one of his ears got bit off by something. I'm not sure whether it was another horse or a dog or what, but he's missing the tip of one ear because apparently in
Frost
the past
bite.
It had got bitten off.
Aw, that's so
cute.
Sad.
Yeah, it was neat. That was a first for me over the weekend, meeting a mini, mini, mini donkey, miniature mini donkey.
Gotcha. Well, we've got a great show today that you put together. You got in trouble for trying to put together, and Jennifer had actually put a show together. So, Jen, what's up on today's show?
Jennifer won, by the way.
On today's Omega Alpha, Alpha Monday edition, we're going to go old school today. We're going to be dusting off the bookshelves and visiting with a couple of authors. It is that gift buying season. And books are always great gifts at the holiday season, and our visit to the local bookstore yesterday was further evidence to that fact because it was mobbed. But just the same, we're going to have Vaughn Wilson here to chit-chat a little about his book, Tell Me About That Horse, where he interviews lots of really famous people who are also horse lovers, some of them competitors and some of them celebrities. And then up we have Dori McCullough-Lawson, who is the daughter of celebrity status author David McCullough, one of Glenn and I's favorites. And she wrote a really cool little book called Tex. And that's all I'm telling you.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. You know which bookstore we went to, don't you, Jamie?
Which what?
Bookstore we went to in Lexington. What's the only bookstore that people go to here?
You got me.
Jennifer begged me to go to this bookstore. Jennifer,
University
what's your favorite bookstore?
Joseph Beth.
Joseph Beth. Anybody that comes in for Rolex and comes into Lexington goes to Joseph Beth because they carry a large selection of horse books.
You know something, though? Mm-hmm. Very, very recently, Joseph Beth Booksellers got a new owner, and I'm noticing the horse section getting smaller. So we're going to have to start a petition.
I got to say, I did not. I lived in Kentucky, and I've been to Rolex every year, and I've never spent my time perusing a bookstore. I've got to tell you that's really not top priority when you go to Rolex. But I had no idea, so I will definitely have to check it out.
Yeah,
I'm usually
a
trade fair kind of girl.
Yes. Well, a lot of people do. They come in and they can make it a point to get down to Joseph Beth at one point or another during their trip here to Lexington. They go to that bookstore. But I have a daily Winnie or two. My first one is to happy birthday to Karen Isberg, who, of course, is of Kentucky Performance Products. So happy birthday, Karen. We appreciate you and hope you have a terrific day. And listener Tara Lang Gamble, happy birthday to you as well. And I have another quick daily winning. This one goes out to Rebecca Gimenez, who obviously listens to the show because she posted an article that thehorse.com wrote, because they must have been listening to the show too, on how to prevent a tragedy, fence off your pool. It was a whole article about horses, how horses end up in pools, and there's all these rescues. And Rebecca apparently works for a rescue group down, I think, in Florida somewhere. And so the whole article was about safety tips you can do to make sure your horse doesn't end up on horses in the morning, with me laughing going, don't you ever fence in your pool? How do the horses end up in pools all the time? So she posted the link to the article. We appreciate you doing that, Rebecca, and thank you for listening. And I know you have a couple of them, too. That's what always happens to us on Monday.
Yeah. They definitely seem to pile up over the weekend because Rachel Knopes posted a really amazing 12-horse FEI quadrille Or I guess it's not a quadrille when there's more than four horses, whatever it is.
Yeah, a 12 drill.
A 12
I don't know.
Drill. A duo drill. I don't know. So it's on our Facebook page. Really, really amazing footage back in the 80s that somebody converted from VHS onto posting it on YouTube. So that's on our Facebook page. Go check it out. Horses in the Morning. One more, Glenn. A very, very special birthday wish goes out to what some say is Aventing's Enrique Iglesias. And I'm talking about none other than Jose Ortelli. That's right. If you don't know what Jose Ortelli looks like, we're going to post a picture of him on Facebook right now. He was one of the ultimate finalists for the 2010 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards, which I noticed some of you are asking about. We've decided to bump the 2011 Hottest Horseman of the Year Awards to Valentine's Day because nothing fills a lonely heart better than with pictures of really attractive men. Or, you know, it could spark in our a heart already full of love. So we're going to do that for you on Valentine's Day. So the emails and phone calls and threatening text messages can stop because we are going to do it. We are going to do it for you guys. And Jose is, again, going to be a finalist because look at this picture. He's so hot. happy birthday yesterday, Jose Ortelli. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Well, thank you, Jamie. You know, I can always count on you to bring sex into the show.
Yeah, right.
Never fail.
You're the one. You're the one who's
hey, not
a
me
mess.
Today. I'm being good. I was being perfectly good today. Not me at all. Well, I'll tell you what, we had a, I don't know about you, we had a good weekend. Did you, other than hurting your muscles playing Wii, did you have a good weekend?
I did. You know, a friend of ours had decided to give us a pair of tickets to go see the Cardinals 49ers football game here in Arizona. Arizona Cardinals taking on the 49ers, and of course my husband being from San Francisco originally, he is a fan of the 49ers, so it was great for him. However, driving downtown and going to a football game with 40,000 other people to me is like going to the dentist. So I went to Chad's company Christmas party on Saturday night, his little squadron Christmas party, and I did, after two glasses of wine, offer up my ticket to another pilot friend of Chad's who was so excited to get it that there's no way that Chad could say no. So Chad and his friends went to the football game, and I was able to stay home and ride with some of my girlfriends. Yes.
Well, there we go.
I guess. Have you, Jennifer, if given a free ticket to a football game, would you go?
If given a free ticket to a football game, what would I go? Is it just my own ticket and nobody else?
Well, you would say Glenn offered you a ticket to a football game and Glenn was some other guy who would actually want to go to a football game. Would you go with him?
No.
Yeah.
The reason I wouldn't go, if it was two other guys, maybe, but the reason I wouldn't go is I would have to sit at that football game and shiver my ankles off, and I'd have to listen to Glenn whine and complain about how much he hates football games the entire time. Now,
okay.
If I was going with people that really enjoyed football, if you bought me a really nice new downfield coat, maybe.
Okay, we are in Arizona, so that takes the whole cold thing out of it because everything is indoor here. So, no, we don't even have to worry about that, the cold here. It's funny, I never think of football games in cold now that I live here in Arizona. But, no, it is definitely, no, to me, not fun going to football games. I wanted to post on our Facebook page.
I'm with
in
you.
The morning. I want to know, do horse chicks like to go to football games.
Now, here's the thing, though. You didn't offer me an option. It wasn't go to the football game or something else. We have to make the assumption that there's absolutely nothing else to do.
Now, there's always something else to do if you have horses and a farm. So mine was work your ride, you know?
Well, you know, I got to tell you that I like football at home when I can sit in my chair, when I can take a nap during the game. Football's great for that, but I don't like being smashed into a stadium and having beer thrown all over me. That's the thing I don't like about football.
I don't like the fact, like,
the other thing that I don't like is the commercial break. But when you're there watching, I find it extremely boring watching a football game live, and I've been to several. It's just because they take the commercial break, and everybody just stands around. It's so surreal watching all the players just standing around waiting for the commercial to be over. It's just kind of weird.
I'm telling you. I told Chad, I said, the only way, he's like, I thought you liked watching football games with me on you know, on TV. And I was like, yeah, because we DVR it, and you fast forward through the commercials. So, you, I mean, like, literally, there's maybe 6 seconds of action every 15 minutes. So I said, yeah, just fast forwarding. But I said, football live is so boring. It's like pulling teeth. My dad told me yesterday, he's like, I'd rather jump off a bridge than go to a football game. That's my dad, who loves football.
Well,
I want to know.
So you're not going? Is that the decision?
Oh, you missed it. Yeah, that's what Chad did yesterday. He got a ticket for both of us. Somebody gave him a pair of tickets. And it was with some other guys from work, well, from his work. And I might have gone ahead and... after two glasses of wine at Chad's Squadron Christmas party Saturday night, I went ahead and offered my ticket to another guy who was so excited to get it. So,
and those two can go have bonding time.
Exactly. Exactly. Please go right ahead, have some beers, sit down, stare at the cheerleaders, just have a good old time. I'll be here. I rode with some of my girlfriends and we took pictures, Christmas pictures.
Well, terrific. Hey, we got some news stories here. You know, that this thing seems to be changing by the day. I don't know about you. We haven't talked much about this, but we said we would today, and that is, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. We don't have a guest lined up because this is still developing, and we just didn't want to jump on this particular topic without getting all the facts in place and letting, you know, when you let a story like this go for a couple of weeks, it tends to shake out and end up being where it was supposed to be. And I don't know if that makes any sense at all, Jamie, but we're talking about the horse slaughter issue. you know, there was a bill signed that basically, what happened years ago was they basically stopped, the USDA basically stopped inspections on processing plants for horses, which meant that they couldn't do it anymore. So those plants closed down. And there were a couple of states that had plants. I think Texas was one of them. Maybe Illinois was another one. And there might have been others, too. And then this latest bill that went through Congress basically said that they would fund the USDA to do this again, which caused a huge uproar in the horse community. And, Jamie, I know you do Google Alerts for all the horse news as well as I do, and hasn't half of the news for the last 2 weeks been this story?
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, so many people are so passionate and opinionated about this that it's definitely – a challenging thing to try to wrap your brain around because there's so much news coming from so many different places. And I know you and I discussed it before. You said that it was when Barack Obama signed the petition, you said it was where?
It was part of a bigger funding bill for the government. So it got, like so many things, it got thrown into a huge pile of stuff, and we have to fund the government, so this got thrown in there, and that's how it came to be. Now, Susan Nelson just posted, I will be disappointed if you treat the horse slaughter issue as having a pro side. Let's make this perfectly clear. Jamie and I and Jennifer do not think there should be horse slaughter plants in the United States or anywhere for that matter. So,
oh, my God.
That clear from the
Susan,
beginning.
Seriously.
There's no question about that. If anybody listens to this show on a regular basis, I think they know that. So We strongly oppose that, and we will continue to strongly oppose that. What we
I
wanted
tell
to
you
see.
To, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. You got to let me have my little moment here.
Yes,
because
I will. Go ahead.
I want Susan to know, because I find it shocking that she would even think that we would think that. I was part of the coalition in Atlanta, and I did fundraising to stop horse slaughter altogether in the United States. So the fact that this whole thing got passed makes me absolutely crazy. Now, you say, it got stuck in a pile of bills, and that's what the Washington is saying, but BS. Why would our president sign something that, oh my God, he hasn't read? Who does that? You're the president of the United States. You have people working for you. You sit down and you peel over every single page of that bill and you look at it. It comes up. What is this? I'm not going to make funding available for horse slaughter in the United States. That's ridiculous. I'm going to take this piece out. Lawyers, rewrite. You're the president. I'm sure you can pretty much figure out a way to edit that out. Seriously. Now, of course, this has taken on this entire, to me, if for some reason I was going to vote for Barack Obama, this would be the reason that I would not. I wasn't going to anyway, but this is definitely the reason he will not be getting my vote come 2012.
Regular listeners to the show of this show know too that we don't talk politics. We don't really talk anything serious for any length of time either. But there are certain topics that do set us off. Now, on the other side of it, the USDA on their blog yesterday posted the following: companies considering reopening horse slaughter plants in the United States have yet to start queuing outside the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The media has been awash with stories recently about the potential resumption of horse slaughter in the U.S. after Congress lifted the ban on federal funding for the inspection of horses at plants. However, it has yet to translate into requests to the USDA. The Deputy Administrator for the Department's Food Safety and Inspection Service, Phil Dirtfler, noted on a blog that there had been much talk around the lifting of the inspection ban. And he goes on to say, this issue is understandably a sensitive and emotional one for everyone who loves these majestic animals, but it's important that the discussion be tempered with the facts. While Congress has technically lifted the ban, horse processing will not resume anytime in the near term. Under the Federal Meat Inspection Act, horses are an amenable species, which means that horses cannot be shipped.
And Glenn.
Oh, we lost Glenn. He was there. Okay. That's the government right there. That's Big Brother. They just kicked him off
Big
the
brother
Skype.
Cut him off.
Well, you know, and what I'm hearing from that, Jennifer, is the fact that, you know, okay, they're saying it's not going to happen in the near future. But what are they visualizing for the farther future? I mean, I went to France, and I was horribly offended and would not eat at any place that had cheval on the menu. I just was not going to even eat at a place that cooked horses. Now, are we going to someday
right,
go
I'm
up
back.
To the local...
Is the government trying to knock me off?
Yes.
I said it was Big Brother. He was knocking you off. You're not allowed to say your opinion. But I was just thinking, Glenn, for the future, are we going to be having, you know, horse meat burgers at Outback? I mean, they're saying not in the near future, but like I was saying, when I went to France, I wouldn't eat at a place that cooked horses. If it was on the menu, I wasn't eating there.
I don't know how much you heard, but basically he went to say that to date there have been no requests that the department initiate the authorization process for any horse processing operation in the United States.
Today?
In the two states where horse processing took place prior to the congressional ban, Illinois and Texas, there are laws in place prohibiting the slaughter of horses. Even if those laws were changed, any processing facility will still need to satisfy a significant number of requirements, such as obtaining a federal grant of inspection, conducting a hazard analysis, and developing a hazard analysis and critical control points planned prior to the processing of any animal. Now, anybody that knows anything about the government knows that all of that means there's no chance in hell they're going to do this because politically it's not good. They heard you is what they're basically saying. So what they're just going to do is block it from the backside.
Okay. Well, it just seems silly that this would even be, in this day and age, even written. Why, you know, is it just the government trying to find a way to allot more money to these slaughterhouses? You know, oh, well, we're going to now fund inspections for the USDA to approve the horse meat slaughter. Really? Now, I mean, again, you're saying near future, but think far future here. I mean, this could be something that eventually could come to pass. And my mind is very worrisome. Okay.
I still think you should keep the pressure on the Congress, on the president about this, because they could slip it in the next bill to be funded again. So,
yeah, exactly.
This could go the other way. So we definitely should still keep the pressure on. You know who's lobbying for this is the beef industry. That's who has been the biggest advocate of getting this back through is the beef industry. And, of course, you know, there's always that the ones that are arguing, well, these horses are all starving to death. That's why there's so many going to adoption and blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into all of that. But I think that we still need to keep the pressure on. I'm not saying not to do that, but it does look like what's looking like is the administration has heard this and they basically rang the USDA and said, let's just make sure it doesn't happen on your end. Now, if it does, we'll be all over it, and we'll make sure we cover it at that point. But let's just keep an eye on what happens. So far, there's no beef plants in the United States, and let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah, it just makes me curious as to why the president and Congress and the government would do something so that they knew would be so incredibly unpopular. I mean, who's going to be like, yeah, they opened the slaughter plants, woohoo, nobody. I mean, I would even think that the beef people would be threatened by it. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't believe in shipping them to Mexico or Canada either. You know, that's not, but you know, I don't believe in doing that either. But that's just, you
it's
know,
it's not
how
being
Jean
done legally. When I was working at the vet clinic, to ship a horse from Arizona down to Mexico, they had to be in Arizona, I think, 60 days. And then they had to have, you know, all the paperwork done. And there's no way that every horse that's going to go down to slaughter is going to be boarded here for 60 days and then have their health certificates done. So it's being done illegally, without a doubt. There's not like everybody's just, you know, able to ride their horse across the border and sell them. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. That's my two cents. It's all illegal, and there's just too much shady stuff going on.
All right. There's how we feel. I hope I know there's some people that will disagree with us and some people that will agree with us, and that's the way it is. That's why we talk about this stuff.
hey,
and that's why we don't talk about serious stuff very often, because it just gets our blood boiling and it's Monday morning. And let's get on to some more fun stuff. Let's talk about some gift ideas for you this year. And I don't know about you, Jamie, but Jennifer and I actually started shopping yesterday. We made our first trek out to shop yesterday for people. And your gifts will be on the way. We actually did accomplish your gift shopping. So yours are on the way. But we also decorated the house yesterday. And the studio now has Christmas lights and wreaths and things in it. So the house is looking more festive. So now I'm feeling more Christmassy than I was last week.
Well, good. Yeah, our tree is up. Most of my shopping is done. Although it is now the point where Chad goes, hey, you know what? I really want this. And, of course, you have to buy it online. And, of course, it'll probably never make it to actually see the light of day because it'll never get here at Christmas time. But, it definitely starting to feel that way. Before I do the commercial, I just want to remind everybody, please go check it out, secretariat.com. They're doing, remember the Vox Populi Award that they wanted to do, and they gave it to Zenyatta last year. It's just the award for the people. And I just voted, so of course it took out everybody. But it's like Uncle Mo is a finalist, Rapid Redo, who is the horse that has won like 19 in a row. It's crazy. And then Goldakova was one of them, and there was another horse I forget. But go on to secretariat.com and you can vote for your favorite.
Cool. Very good.
Yeah. I went on and voted. I wonder how often I can vote, like once a day or just once. We'll see. Just before we get to our first guest, I want to let you know about our sponsor for today. Our sponsor for today is Omega Alpha. And we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. And Omega Alpha cares about what goes into your horses and your ponies. And that's why Omega Alpha uses only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them, using the finest natural ingredients available. The only other, the other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. And if you've listened to our show with Dr. Chang on, you will realize the man is brilliant. He's also very well respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse. See them all at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Thank you, Jamie, and thank you to Omega Alpha. We have our first guest on here, and I'm very excited. I think you're going to like him. He was a guest on the Stable Scoop show over the summertime, and I wanted to have him back on this show around Christmas because he wrote a book I think that would make a terrific gift for everyone. His name is Vaughn Wilson. He's an artist and an author and a photographer, and he wrote a book called Tell Me About That Horse. Good morning, Vaughn.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Did I miss Good Old Cowboy? I missed that, didn't I?
I was out feeding horses this morning when you called, so that's why I was a little harried, but I was in the midst of getting them all fed and taken care of. So yeah, I guess you could call me that on occasion.
Well, this is a terrific book. I've seen it and read it, and it's just, I want you to tell everybody how this book came to be and what it's about, and then I want to talk to you about a few of the characters in the book.
Great. Yeah. I guess I could be called one of those lucky people that has been fortunate to spend most of my life in the company of horses. I've had them most of my life. I've been a breeder for about 35 years. We breed Appaloosa reining horses, some of the best in the world. And I just, looking back over all the horses that have called my pastures home over the years, there are one or two that stood out in my mind as sort of special, not necessarily because they were the best bred or the best looking horses, but I don't know, just something intangible about them. They were more of a friend, more of a companion. And so I got to thinking if other people that had horses felt that way, and I decided to ask some of them, and that's how the idea for Tell Me About That Horse was born.
And you, did you go out, now this, so this book has a whole bunch of people in it that some that people would recognize, some that might be new to people,
right.
And you went out and talked to them about their horses. Did you go to them individually in person?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I went and visited with each one of them. There are 39 people in the book, and it took me 3 years and about 40,000 miles to get all these interviews, and of course I had to photograph them. I did an oil painting of each of the people in there, plus I have some candid photographs and things like that. Now, one comment I get a lot, this is not a picture book about horses. There are not a lot of pictures of horses in there. There are some. But in most cases, the horse, the special horse in the lives of these people, that's the one I was looking for. I wanted the one that kind of tugged at the heartstrings sometime in their life. So consequently, a lot of these horses have already passed on.
And, we talk about that all the time here, Vaughn, about the fact that everybody has that lifetime horse.
Yeah.
We all have that one that meant so much to us. And I bet you what we have found, too, is sometimes it's not the horse that they became famous for. What I mean?
Right. Well, when I talked to these people, I told them up front, I said, I don't necessarily want to hear about your most famous horse or your most valuable horse. I said, of course, if that's the one you want to talk about, that's fine. But I said, I want to hear about the one that brings up a little emotion, that kind of tugs at the heartstrings when their name comes up. And so I got some incredible stories about some very, very special horses from these interesting people.
And I think one of the reasons it took you so long, and Jamie, you're going to love this, is I want to know, I can't remember if you did this for everyone or not, but you went out and you photographed or you got photographs. And then you actually did paintings of each of these that are in the book.
Right. Yeah. No, I did all of the photographs, everything in there, with the exception of two or three. I did use a couple of Don Sugart's, but Don is one of the people in the book, and he's one of the greatest equine photographers of all time. So I felt comfortable in using a couple of his things, but mostly I wanted to use just my photographs and then do the paintings, you know, from the reference photographs that I used.
Right.
Okay. So that's how you were able to, sorry, Glenn, to kind of put some of the past horses, the ones that may not be with us anymore, but you were able to make some paintings of them. Because I was wondering, how would you be able to kind of see what those horses look like if they're just descriptions? So you went ahead and you've got some pictures of them?
Well, I didn't actually do paintings of the horses. I just did a portrait of the people that were talking about the horses. But
okay.
I did use a couple of photographs, like I say, that Don shot. He had a couple of, I think, one of Lindy Birch on a cutting horse and one of Tom Lyons on a cutting horse that I used. Other than that, most of them are all mine.
And, you know, I got to tell you, Jamie, he is an incredible artist. You're gonna see these pictures, and you're just going to be amazed. He's an incredible artist. Now, let's talk about some of the people in the book. Of course, one of my favorites, and just because I think he's cool, and that's Charlie Daniels.
Yeah. You know, that's funny. Most people, when they talk to me, they ask, what's it like to sit around with Charlie Daniels? And I have to admit that, you know, Glenn, the important thing about this was that it was just all of these people are horse people. And as you well know, horse people like to talk about horses. And so when I'm sitting at a kitchen table with Charlie Daniels, it's just two guys sitting there talking about horses. I didn't really think about who I was talking to until he started, we got around to music finally, and he said, let me tell you some lyrics I got in my head. And then I realized, okay, well, he's, you know, this is Charlie. And anyway, I've spent time with him on the road, you know, backstage and things like that. He's an incredible human being, a great American, and I just think the world of him.
So he wasn't sitting there with the guitar on his lap while you were talking to him?
No, no, we were sitting there. I think he had on a baseball cap that morning, and we were sitting there drinking coffee and just talking about horses, and it was really cool.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about his horse, his lifetime horse?
Yeah, he had a horse that he called Fat Gal, and he said not because she was fat, because she wasn't, but he said she was a big horse and able to carry a big guy like him. He is a big guy, and said she could carry him all day long and never break a sweat, and she was just something special to him. Let's see, her registered name, I think, was Rialto's Gal or Rialto's Lady or something like that, but he just called her Fat Gal. And this was a horse that Thurman Mullins, who is his ranch foreman, had found somewhere and brought her into the ranch. She was a paint horse, and he just thought the world of that horse.
How many does he have?
You know, I don't know right now, and I'm not sure if you or your audience is aware of this, but several months back, Charlie's barn burned, and he lost nine horses in that barn fire. Yeah, it was a terrible tragedy. His publicist called me the day after it happened and told me all about it, and just a terrible tragedy. But he lost four stallions and five other horses in that fire. So I'm not sure how many he has right now. I haven't talked to him in a couple of months.
Hmm. Well, now there was somebody else in the book too that is going to be in the headlines here very shortly. He's been in the headlines all year. He's not even around anymore, but they're going to have a highlight of him in the Rose Bowl parade this year. And I think you know where I'm going with this. And that's Roy Rogers, and
right.
You actually got to speak to somebody about that.
Yeah, Roy was, you know, he was my hero, still is. I still watch his movies, I had the privilege of sitting down with Roy Rogers Jr., Dusty, they call him, and we spent several hours talking about Trigger, and that was just really, really special. He told me all about his childhood growing up with Roy and Dale and about being around Trigger, and how Sugar got his name, and just a lot of things. Hmm. And we talked about some personal things from his background, and just a very, very wonderful experience.
And
well,
go ahead, Jane.
Oh, I'm just so curious what it was like to sit there with Roy Rogers, and what did he tell you about Trigger? Or do we need to read the book?
Read the book. one of the interesting things is about Trigger is that he was a movie horse before Roy got him. If you're familiar with the old Robin Hood movie with Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland, this horse, whose name was actually Golden Cloud, was a movie horse that Olivia de Havilland rode in the movie Robin Hood. And when Roy went to make his first movie, I think it was Under Western Skies was the name of it, and they had brought in Smiley Burnett, who had been Gene Autry's sidekick for many years. They brought Smiley in to be Roy's sidekick in that first movie. And the people brought some movie horses in for Roy to look at. They said, you need a good horse, a flashy horse, you know, that's going to look good on the screen. And so Trigger was one of them, or Golden Cloud was one of them. And Roy got on the horse and rode him down to the end of the road and came back, and he got off and he told Smiley Burnett, he said, man, he went down there and said he turned on a dime and gave me 9 cents change. And Smiley said, Roy, that horse is kind of quick on the trigger. And he said, yep, that's what I'm going to call him, Trigger.
Oh, I love that. Oh.
Yeah, great story.
I'm listening to that.
I didn't know that story. Well, this year, Jamie, in the Rose Bowl Parade, RFD actually bought Trigger and bought a lot of the memorabilia when the Roy Rogers Museum closed, RFD TV.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they're having a float in the Rose Bowl Parade this year, and they're having 100 Palominos along with the float in honor of Roy Rogers' 100th birthday. So they're really doing it up this year to honor Roy Rogers.
Absolutely.
Oh!
Heard about that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And I saw Trigger and Trigger Jr. and Dale's horse, Buttermilk, and Roy.
I forgot
Paul
Dale's
Bullitt.
Horse
they
name
had...
was Buttermilk.
Yeah, they had, of course, in the museum before it closed, they were all up there, and so I pretty much had the run of the place when I was up there with Dusty, and he let me look at everything, and I was kind of there on my own. I wasn't there in a crowd. I don't think the museum was actually open at that time, so they just let me wander around and see things.
Wow. So... Glenn, back to the 100 Palominos that are going to be used, I would like to volunteer my Palomino to be used. He's about 37 years old, and he's only got one eye, but he would be happy to march in that Rose Bowl parade. Do you have one too?
People, I'm sure the million people lining it won't bother him at all.
Vaughn, do you have a Palomino? Do you own a horse?
Oh, I own a lot of horses. I don't have a Palomino at the moment. I've had I had a mare that was an own daughter of Hollywood Dunnett, one of the greatest reigning horses of all time. And she's a buckskin. But she crossed on my stallion, would usually have a Palomino. And
mm-hmm.
So we had two out of her. But of course, being in the breeding business, and especially with what we were doing, the reigning, most of my horses leave before they're a year old or 2 years old. So, we sell a lot of reiners over in Europe and things like that.
So is there a section in your book then? Because I'm looking through the names here, and I don't see a name of Vaughn Wilson's horse of his life.
Well, if you go to the introduction of the book in the front, there is... I do the introduction. I wrote the introduction, but then I actually wrote a poem for a horse that was special to me. And I don't pretend to be a cowboy poet like Red Steigall and Baxter Black, but I just felt it was a fitting tribute to that particular horse, and so I wrote the poem.
All right, good. So we'll get to read a little bit about him too.
Yeah.
Everybody has one. I love it.
Yes, that's right. Everybody has one. That's what's so neat about this book, and it makes you think about yours. It makes you think about who was your horse and why was he so special. We're talking to Vaughn Wilson. He's the author and artist of Tell Me About That Horse, and it's available now. On where should people go to get it? So I know it's at Amazon and a bunch of other places.
Yeah, it's on Amazon.com. That's a good place to get it. Also, our website, if you want an autographed copy, you can get it through our website, which is tellmeaboutthathorse.com. And, in fact, that's what I was doing before y'all called. I'm shipping out books this morning, trying to get them out for Christmas. We still have plenty of time for Christmas orders. But, you know, if they want an autographed book, like I say, it's tellmeaboutthathorse.com.
Well, we have just a couple minutes here. We only talked about two of the almost 40 people in this book. And, of course, you have a lot of the famous horse clinicians, John Lyon, Joe Camp, and Lindy Birch, many others that are on the list here. Were there a couple that really surprised you? Maybe they're the lesser known in the greater horse world, but you went, wow, this was really cool.
Yeah, there's one particular story in there about a lady named Pam Grace who has an Appaloosa dressage horse. It was a leopard Appaloosa, and Paul McCartney.
That's not something you see very often.
Yeah, Paul McCartney called her and asked her if she would be willing to let him fly her and her horse to New York and have her ride that horse down the center aisle of the cathedral at Linda McCartney's memorial service. And the story is extremely touching. She gets very emotional telling it. It's a great, great story. One of the others that I think is cool is the first interview I did for the book was with a guy named Liesel Harris, who has been a rodeo clown for something like, going on 60 years. And back when Liesel first got into the business, all rodeo clowns had to have a mule. And so this great idea I had about asking people to tell me about a special horse in their life actually started with Liesel's story about a rodeo mule. And
you mean they rode a mule? Did they ride him?
In fact, he raced him. That's what the story is about. And, in fact, I have just finished, I'm writing a children's book based on that story about Liesel and his little rodeo mule named Sweet Pea.
Huh.
Yeah.
That is a
cool story.
Wow.
Really cool story. Funny story.
This would be a great addition to anybody's gift list. If you're into horses and you want to hear some more of these terrific stories and hear them in their entirety, then I recommend this book. I think Helena ended up with mine, and she never gave it back. So that tells you something. So check it out. It's called Tell Me About That Horse. Jennifer will post a link to it on Facebook, and we'll have it in our show notes. But you can go search for Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-N, Wilson, also at Amazon, and you'll find it there as well. Thank you so much, Vaughn. We appreciate you being on with us this morning as we talk about books and authors that are worth taking a look at for holiday gifts.
Well, thank you, Glenn and Jamie. I appreciate the opportunity to share the book with your audience. Thank you very much.
All right,
thank you.
Vaughn. So, Jamie, are you even old enough to have a lifetime horse yet?
You know what? I think I've been pretty lucky. I've had a couple pretty awesome horses. The one I had, I got when I was 10 years old, and I had him till I was 28. And he was definitely a lifetime horse. And we did everything together, everything. And then I've had my warm blood since then, since before then, actually. I've had him for 8 years, and he's been pretty spectacular, too. Just soundness issues limiting his eventing career.
right.
But other than that, you know, I mean, I feel pretty lucky to have, I feel like I have two really, really great horses right now. I wouldn't trade anything for them. So I feel that lucky. What about you? Did you have a lifetime horse?
Oh yeah. And I think everybody that listens regularly to the shows over the past 3 years knows that mine is my old Pony Piper. She was definitely my lifetime horse just because I had, you know, I drove her for 10 years probably, and she took me everywhere in that cart, Jennifer and I, on a lot of rides with the Red Rose Driving Club and through some interesting places. We drove that pony through amusement parks in the middle of the city of Philadelphia. You know, we had her doing everything, and she would do it like a trooper. There was only one thing that pony was ever afraid of, and it was cows. If a cow ran over to the fence as you were driving by, you were guaranteed to be in the other lane. But other than that, and I fortunately no car was ever coming in the other lane when that happened. But that was the only thing that scared that pony was cows. So we don't know if it had had a bad cow experience before we got her. And talk about, you know, we're talking about the slaughter issue. That pony we bought for $100 at the New Holland Sales Stables, and she was headed to slaughter. And she was probably 20 when we got her. We thought she was younger, but she deceived us. You know, her teeth, you know how that is sometimes. And we found out she was probably about 20, and we drove her till she was almost 32. She didn't die till she was almost 45. So,
good God.
Yep. That pony lived forever. She finally had a stroke when she was in her 40s and died. But she had a lot of years after we retired her, just hanging out in green grass, Pennsylvania green grass, and just enjoying life. But what a terrific pony. She taught me how to drive. I've told this story, too, before. Anytime we'd do something wrong, because Jennifer and I didn't know how to drive, anytime I'd do something wrong, she'd throw her head. And I'd keep changing what I was doing until she stopped throwing her head, and that's when I was doing it right.
So basically, she trained you.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's no question about it. She trained us to drive. And she was an Amish pony. Came a couple little Amish kids owned her, and they drove her as their little Amish pony in a little cart. And we ended up with her, and she just gave us a great time for a lot of years. So Piper is mine. And Jennifer, I know you have one, too. Nope, she might be.
Yes, I'm here. Takes me a second to stop typing and press the button. There's a delay there. Because otherwise, all you hear is clicketing and clacketing back here at the keyboard. My lifetime horse. You know, I think I probably have two of them. Probably.
And let me interject here, because I really feel like all of us are clearly young enough to have a couple more. We're not old
right.
enough to have,
That's
like,
right.
forever end-all lifetime horses.
Right.
You may have another Piper.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I hope so. I think we all hope so, don't we?
Yeah.
So, Jennifer, what was yours?
Probably Sally and Q. And being practical to a fault, because they both taught me a lot, those two. Sally Allen was a youngster I bought who was a unmarked thoroughbred. She hadn't gotten too tattooed, and she went through the yearling sales, and she was a bust. She wasn't going to do any racing. And I bought her and got her started, and then sold her on to a very nice lady up in New England who took her on to be a three-day horse. And she taught me a lot about training, as did Q, taught me a lot about subtlety, and taking a horse that he was a little bit like Jet in my life for you. He's like, okay, let's rethink this whole thing here. Because he wasn't going to do anything. He was completely shut down when I got him. He was an old war horse racehorse. And I had to kind of relearn how to ask a question instead of create a demand with Q. And it was a great learning experience.
Isn't that interesting that all three of us have picked horses that taught us? We didn't teach them. They taught us. Isn't that interesting?
I think all of them end up being that way, though.
Yeah.
You know,
now, some of us teach us negative lessons.
Exactly. Teach how to fall. but you know what? I even had one when I was a kid. Like, I had a POA pony, Snowflake. She was my first pony, and I did everything on her. So, you know, I think there's just a long line of horses that we'll all get to meet when we get to heaven, you know? Hey, guys, how's it going?
I'm actually posting a question on Facebook, or question of the day, talking about lifetime horses. What was yours? So we'd love to hear about your lifetime horse. Why was that horse so special? And did you learn from that horse? Which I think is something that when you read Bond's book, you're going to see that thread all throughout his book as well. You know, Charlie Daniels had a stroke about a year or two ago, too. So I wonder how he's doing after that. I forgot about his fire. That was a sad thing. I know we reported on it at the time. Well, let's take a break for our song. We have today, we're going to bring an inventor into play. We have Clayton Fredericks with his group called Team Fredericks on Woo-hoo! Will called, and I know this is one of Jamie's favorites, so I'm playing it for you this morning, Jamie. This is called Will to Win, and then we're going to be back to hear an interview we did with a very famous author's daughter who wrote a really cool little book that you're going to want to hear about. If you have to get a gift for a child that's into horses this year, you're going to want to listen to the next segment. This one would make a perfect gift.
When you know that you got what it takes, what a difference a feeling makes. And when everyone's dreaming the dream, then you've got the will to win. When the moment is finally here, and you fight and the energy's clear. When you stand on the strength of the team, then you've got the will to win. And you're keeping your eyes on the prize, and you're feeling the energy rise. When you know you can never get in, then you've got the will to win. You've got the will to win. Hey. With the crowd on the edge of the scene, then they shout and they rise to their feet, and you stand on the edge of your dream. Then you've got the will to win, and you keep.
He was the keynote speaker at the United States Eventing Association's annual meeting. That is Clayton Fredericks. And I wonder if he sang. I never read anything about that or heard anything about him singing. But, you know, the dude should just take a guitar with him wherever he goes. I don't even know if he plays guitar. Yeah, he can. Of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. And we will do some coverage on the annual meeting coming up. I know that our good friend Chris Stafford, she will definitely be covering it on her eventing radio show. She was a guest of the USEA to go up there and do some coverage. I'm sure she has lots of good interviews. And hopefully she got to sit down with Clayton Fredericks. Because I love Clayton, and I like him so much. I bought his saddle.
True, you do have one of his saddles, and I don't want to forget to mention that the song was brought to you by Pocket Stable. You want to hop on over to pocketstable.com or Pocket Stable in the App Store on your iPhone. Download that program. Keep track of all the information about your horses, including vaccines, worming, farrier, dental visits, that kind of thing. Even the weight of your horse. They'll give you reminders when all of that is coming due. It just helps you stay organized. You know, everybody's going to be doing New Year's resolutions very soon. Why don't you get a 3-week head start on your New Year's resolutions? by downloading Pocket Stable now and keeping better track of your horse's information. Well, our Horse Radio Network show highlights this week are some Horse Tip Daily shows that Jennifer has done with our friend Fran Yerga. Fran is one of the most well-read bloggers and journalists in the horse world, and she is providing a series of tips, or like she does every year, on books that you should look at for the holidays. Now, Jennifer, you've posted several of these shows up now, so people can go back and listen to them at Horse Tip Daily, right? Oh, I think you might not be on. Oh, there you go.
It's either I forget the button or y'all have to listen to the clickety clack. I think there are three or four Fran Yergas up there, and they're easy to find. You just search for Fran, F-R-A-N. And she's got some really great titles on there, a few of them that you've probably heard of, but actually quite a few more that haven't gotten a lot of press, so to speak, that are really fantastic titles. I put a couple of them on my list. So you're going to have to read it. It's been updated, Glenn.
Okay, great. And there are I know that every year I enjoy hearing her picks because she also really gets into the – she really does read these books, and she has an opinion about them, and she'll let you know what it is. And if you really want some guidance into what books are good gifts, and judging from what Jamie and Jennifer told me last week about approved gifts, books are on the approved gift list. Is that correct?
If they are, in fact, horse books, Glenn, yes. They are definitely on the approved list.
Is there anything but a horse book for a horse girl?
I know. I was thinking, well, you know, again, we discussed the Harlequin romance novels. And
yes.
Again, if Sven has his arms wrapped around, you know, Jennifer, not Jennifer, I should use a different name.
Wait a minute. I don't know Sven.
Yeah, I wanted to know who Sven was, too, actually.
Yeah, if Sven has his arms wrapped around Helga and they're galloping on the beach, you know, on an Andalusian that is illuminated by the moonlight, that book might be okay. I should write that crap. Oh, my God.
You're good at that. Hey, there's another book. So go to horsetipdaily.com to find all of those tips that Jennifer has going now, trying to get you some help in your holiday shopping. Well, there's another group that you have to buy for this holiday season, and that's the little ones. And we know that there's a lot of little ones out there that are into horses. Well, we have a book for you, and we were so privileged, Helena and I, over in the Stable Scoop Show, to be able to interview this author. Her name is Dori McCullough Lawson, and she is the daughter of the renowned historian David McCullough, who's written about 100 books. He's a Pulitzer Prize winner. Jennifer and I love him because we love the history books, and he's John Adams, the recent one that was made. PBS made it into a mini series, and it was also a book. He did that book, and he's just well known in the world as a historian. And she is also an author, and she wrote a book a little while ago, and then decided that she needed to do a book called Text. It's a book for little dreamers, and this is definitely a kid's book. It's a picture book with some writing. It's one of those you sit down with, and you read your kids to sleep as they look at the pictures. And we had a chance to talk to her, and it was a fun interview, so we wanted to share it with you this morning here on Horses in the Morning. So this is Dori McCullough Lawson as she appeared on the Stable Scoop Show with Helena and I. Take a listen. Well, hi, Dori, and welcome to the Stable Scoop Show. It's such a pleasure to have you on.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you right up the top that my wife and I are history fanatics. I've studied history. I've just loved history. Of course, I'm leading to the fact that your father's books have been are part of our library and our bookshelf. We've loved reading his stuff.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm very, very proud of all his work and all that he does, so I'm glad to hear that.
So before we get into this terrific little book of yours, which I have given the maximum number of flakes that we can here on the show, I have to ask you, growing up with a dad that was so much into history and did so much studying on it, do you hate history? Is that something you just walked away going, oh, I don't care what happened?
I don't care what happens. What's happening tomorrow?
Yeah,
I don't really want to talk about that anymore.
surprisingly, the opposite. I grew up in a family with five kids, and my father would go to his office to work and write every day, kind of on the schedule of a regular job, and he'd come in every night, and dinner table conversation was always fascinating and usually included a lot about the characters he was working on. And so, I think all of us love history. I majored in history in college. The first book that I wrote was a history book for adults.
What was the
title
of that?
So I'd say I'm a history person.
What was the title of your first book?
It's called Posterity. And it's a collection of letters from great Americans to their children over a 300-year period.
Love that concept.
I do, too. And you know what? I think Helene and I have both ordered that now. As soon as we saw it on your bio, it's like, I want to read that book.
Oh, good. Well, it's a terrific collection because the people were such good writers and so much emotion in the book. And you can pick it up and put it down at any time. So it's a good one to have.
Well, why did you decide then to do a kid's book? You have four children of your own.
Yes, I have four children of my own, and I am I don't seem to fit into any real category. I have Posterity's nonfiction, then I wrote a novel, and then I did this children's book. And in each case, I never set out thinking, I want to write a novel or I want to write a children's book. What should I do? Rather, an idea would come to me, and I couldn't stop thinking about the idea and just did it. And in this case, it happened to be a children's book. And the idea came to me from the photographs. I did all the photography in the book.
You did the photography yourself?
I did.
The cover photo.
Oh,
I don't know
God.
Which I like better, his expression or the cow in the background. As a mother and lover of all things that are living, I don't know really... They're both speaking to me very loudly.
Well, then the other picture, Helena has not seen this book. I'm sending her this book because she has a young daughter, and I think that they're going to love this book for the holidays. But the pictures in it are unbelievable. You're a good photographer.
Yeah, nice job.
Thank you. And I came up with the idea looking. I had some photographs. The main character in the book is Luke, who becomes Tex, and Luke is my son.
Oh,
and I had a lot of photographs of him, and that splendor of the American West, the visual splendor, it thrills me like it does so many of us. It's easy to be thrilled by that. But I also love that he's dressed as a little cowboy, and he would become Tex, and once he put on those clothes, he was a cowboy, and to see that little cowboy in that huge landscape doing real things. I was looking at the photographs one day, and I thought, wait a minute, there's a story in here, and then I began photographing much, much more and going back and forth with photographs and the story to eventually come up with the book.
Helena, you're going to love this. There is Tex has himself a little mini horse, and he has the horse in the living room, and that scowl that's on the cover that you see there, Tex is looking so happy about himself having brought his horse into the living room. It's one of my favorite pictures in the book.
It does get a rise out of kids when they're reading it. They're reading along, and much of the book is sort of serious because all Tex wants to do is work and be with his animal friends, and then they get to that page, and they almost always get a good reaction to see that horse right in the middle of the house.
Yeah. It's something I can,
well past three.
All of us horse people have done that at one point or another, at least once in our lifetime, and so that just brings back memories right there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because most people who are not horse people who read the book are just astounded at it, and I do that all the time. I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
I'll tell you,
Wait, I have to ask her first, though. How do horses fit into this? I mean, this is we do a horse radio show. What's your connection to horses?
Oh, my connection to horses is since I was 3 years old, love of horses. I was a 4-H kid and rode really all kinds of riding through my childhood and a lot of, you know, backyard kind of riding, and then rode up through college and into my 20s and kind of took a break when all my children were little. And then now I'm back in it with two halflingers who I'm delighted with.
Yeah. Now, was the McCullough family a horse family? Were you?
No, not at all. I was the lone freak.
Ah, welcome to the club.
Yes.
The lone freak fighting with my brothers about what's better, horses or cars or horses or bikes. And I was always on the horse side and never gave up on it. In fact, I used to tell them if they'd asked me about my future, I was going to marry a horse.
Oh, you are true.
You're diehard. Well, and, you know, we always say you want your daughters to get into horses because it delays finding boys for about 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Lots of my junior high, some friends of mine just reminded me of that. They said, oh, all the girls were going on dates, and we were cantering through the woods singing show tunes. And we were.
So true.
I'm totally going to do that next time, cantering in the woods.
Definitely. Oklahoma is a good one. All the songs from Oklahoma are great for
riding.
Maybe
a little Valley High, some stuff.
That's funny.
Oh,
well, this is a terrific book. I would highly recommend it. If you, what ages would you say it's good for? By the way, as an adult, I enjoyed looking at it, so there's the first thing.
Oh, that's great. I would say 3 to 7.
Yeah. I would actually go a little bit higher than that even for the girls in the house, because I think they're really going to enjoy this. And he is just – I hope he spends more time, your son that's on the cover of this book, spends more time with the attitude that's on the back cover than the front cover.
He does.
Okay, good.
He does.
So I see the front cover image as determination, not scowl. To me, it looks like independence.
I think that could go from determination to scowl to crying in about 2 seconds.
Well, none of the photographs in the book were posed. None of them. I just followed him around. The only one that hints at a pose is the one in the house, and he would have the pony in the house, and he often would have her with him when he was eating breakfast, and so the pony would be right at the breakfast table, and I never could get far enough away in a house to get a good picture of the horse. So I did have to get them to go into the living room where I could back up a little bit. So that one is slightly posed, but everything else is just what he was doing.
And
how old is he now?
He's 8 now.
Yeah.
He's eight, and
in the book he's 4 and 5.
Does he still bring the pony in
the house?
Yes, the pony comes in whenever the pony can come in.
Will you be my new best friend? You let your kids bring their ponies in the house. That's
well, it's not my house, which is even better, because this all takes place at a ranch in Wyoming called Wymont Ranch, and it's owned by some of our best friends in the world, and they encourage all kinds of things like bringing the horses into the house.
And was this little horse's name Thunder? Is it really Thunder? No. Okay.
There's the fiction in the book. Horse's name, if I had put the horse's name in the book, no kids would listen to another word for the rest of the book.
Oh, what was it?
The pony's real name is Honey Poo. Not too cowboyish.
Yeah, that's not really a little boy, tough pony image there. Honey Poo. That's great. I love that. You just made my day. Well, Dory, where can people find the book?
You can find it on Amazon. You can get it through your local bookstores, or you can order it through Trafalgar Square, our favorite horse book publisher.
And it's horseandriderbooks.com is where you can find Trafalgar Square, and that's where I would say to go. They're really good.
Yes, I would go there.
Yeah, they're really good people over there, and they really do a service to the horse world too. So
they do. And
the title of the book is Tex, A Book for Little Dreamers.
Yes, and you can't miss it. It has Tex right there in the cover, looking all tough. Thank you, Dory.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
Well, Jamie, I have to tell you that, by the way, we're back live here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here and listening today. I have to tell you that she was so thrilled because I gave, Dory was thrilled, the author was so thrilled that I gave this book 5 flakes out of 5 for, you know, for a kid's book. It's just perfect. And she was so thrilled about that, and she said, never in my life have I been rated with flakes. She thought that was the most exciting thing ever. And she actually wrote a little email to us after and said, thanks so much for the interview yesterday. It was really a lot of fun. I've been glowing and singing show tunes ever since because of Texas 5 flake status. Never did I think it would happen to me.
That's great. When she said the horse's name was really Honey Poo, oh my God, I about fell off my chair. That's awesome.
I know, it's very funny. It's a good book. Yeah. It really is a cute little book.
Well, during that, I was like, okay, let's see if there are any horse books. Like, because I had this pony growing up named Snowflake, and I thought, well, you know, between her horse being named Thunder Beverly Honey, but I thought, I wonder if there's a book called, like, about a horse named Snowflake. So I Google it, and there is a horse book called Snowflake.
Oh, really?
And I thought, I've got to get it. And then I read the excerpt, and it is about a Percheron. It couldn't be further away from a POA pony, so I don't think in my brain I could make that transformation. And it's about a Percheron that these girls, they find because it's homeless, and they find this Percheron, and they're worried sick about it getting cold during the winter, so they have to do a fundraiser to get him a blanket. And I'm thinking, no Percheron is cold during the winter, ever, much less do you need a blanket.
We actually had a blanket for our Percheron, but it was like a size 84. You know, it was the biggest one you could get. And that's the hard part, is finding one that'll fit them. I have a question from that interview for you. Did you ever bring the ponies in the house?
Oh, well, you know, ironically, Glenn, when we had Shetland ponies growing up on our farm, and we got them all from the auctions. And we had two Shetland ponies that were both paints, and one was a gelding, and his name was Peter, and the other one's name was Piper, and she was a little filly. Well, Piper learned, we had 12 acres, and it was just all kind of open, and they could come right up to the house. And Piper would come up in onto the, we had some steps that went up to the deck. And Piper would, don't ever let anybody tell you horses can't climb steps or go back down them. Because Piper, my pony, would climb the steps and stand right at the kitchen window and like staring in on the deck. Oh my God, my mom used to get so mad. Well, of course, at one point I just had to let Piper come in. I just thought, you know, you work so hard to get up here. Come on in the house. Needless to say, my mother was not in the home at that time. She was out running errands. So she might be listening to this right now going, I never knew she brought that pony in the house. Well, yes, Piper did come into the solarium and then make her way into the den.
Well, I have to tell you a story. Speaking of Piper, of course, my lifetime pony I just talked about, I had pneumonia really, really bad at the first farm we lived in, and I was sick for a month. I mean, I was on the couch literally. I should have been in the hospital. I had the worst pneumonia that I've ever had in my life, and I just could not get off the couch. And I hadn't been outside in probably 2 weeks, and Jennifer one day surprised me by bringing my little pony Piper into the living room to say hello to me. So our Piper had been in the house, too. So
that's so cool. That's like super wife status right there, when you bring your husband's pony into the house. I don't know many husbands that have ponies, but the ones that do really appreciate that story.
It was nice. Very sweet of her to do that. It was nice to see Piper after a couple of weeks. And I know Jennifer's brought ponies in her house her whole lifetime. I know her mom's listening today, and she would have a dozen stories of Jennifer bringing ponies and cows and every other animal into the house.
Ponies, cows, chickens. Yeah.
And that's when you go, please don't poop, please don't poop, please don't poop.
Yeah, they did. They did. Sorry, Mom.
We have several people posting on our Facebook page about their lifetime ponies, and I see a lively discussion going on over there about the whole slaughter issue. So let them continue to discuss that. But I would love to hear about your lifetime pony. And so far we have a Welsh Cob and a Mustang who are on the lifetime pony here on the page. And there were a couple other news stories, too. You had a couple of racing story or two, didn't you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. This is one of those kind of frustrating stories. Remember the horse I talked to you about the Breeders' Cup called We Miss Frankie? A filly who ran in the Breeders' Cup, I think she finished third or fourth. Well, We Miss Frankie was scheduled this past weekend. I guess, was it yesterday? It was Saturday. Remember we talked about her upcoming race and she had drawn the post position, one, and she was scheduled to be in the race on Saturday. Well, the gates opened and she stumbled really bad right at the beginning of the race. Remember a Fleet Alex, big stumble at the start of the race, and she made her way back to only getting beat by 2 3/4 lengths, okay? So she really ran a tough race, even almost falling down at the start. Well, by the time she got back to the barn, she was so lame. Apparently, she suffered a non-displaced condylar fracture to her right front leg, and she is... What they were saying is she was scheduled to undergo surgery today. Like, that's how quick they wanted to get this done. Well, We Miss Frankie's Facebook page, I went to her Facebook page, and she actually has already come out of surgery, and it was non-displaced, so they only had to use one screw, but this is what she posted. Oh, my God, it's kind of sad. The photo is of her laying in the straw, and it says, anybody up? I'm out of surgery, and my doctor said everything went really well. I didn't have a long crack in my bone, so they only used one screw. And he also says my joint looks good. Now, of course, We Miss Frankie has a goat that is her best friend, and her name's Pickles. So Pickles and I are staying for the night. They made a bed for him outside my stall. He's so cool. The doctor asked me for my insurance card. What is that?
So it sounds like she's got a good attitude. She's recovering.
She's got a good attitude. She's looking bright. And they are saying that she may return to racing in, you know, about a year. And she's only 2 years old. So I'm sure that eventually she'll make it back to the track. And just a super horse and just super owners. And the people that are involved with the horse are great. We've got to get them on. They said they would come on to the show. So we need to get them on and talk to them about We Miss Frankie. And it's a really sweet story on how she got her name and the whole thing. You know, it's a tearjerker waiting to happen. So We Miss Frankie, out of surgery, and is doing okay right now.
Sure, Frankie Lovato is following that story closely because he's still convinced they named that horse after him.
I know, right?
Hey, another thing, too, we're going on starting today is the Courtney King Dye Medical Fund eBay store is opened again today with a whole bunch of new stuff in it. You remember Courtney King Dye took that bad spill and has been recovering from a traumatic brain injury ever since. We've been talking about it since we started this show, and everybody knows that. And Riders for Helmets is helping her out. Our friend Lindsay, who runs Riders for Helmets, is doing another eBay store to try and help raise money. And the reason is, while she does have medical insurance, her out-of-pocket expenses since her accident have been substantial. She requires over 200 sessions of physical and occupational therapy annually, and insurance only covers 60 of those visits. And anybody that's had occupational or physical therapy knows how expensive those are. So she is still in need for some additional funds, and you can buy some cool stuff and at the same time help her out by visiting the Courtney King Dye eBay store. Just go to eBay and search for Courtney King Dye, and you will see all of those items pop up, and they have some really cool items this year. So check it out. Maybe you can find something that you can buy as a gift and help Courtney at the same time, and I'm sure they appreciate any help that you can give them.
All
and
right.
One more,
definitely check.
Janie, is an update on this on these horses out of Southern Arkansas University, that whole nightmare.
Well, Glenn, let me just jump right in here and tell you that Satan has a court hearing today. And by Satan, I mean J.C. Ray Jackson, who is
alleged
the
Satan.
Person.
Let's say alleged Satan. Alleged Satan.
Oh, you're so detail-oriented. Yeah, alleged Satan is in a court hearing today to get her to Oklahoma to face some charges. So she posted bond on the theft charges, but she's still in custody. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm going to bond out, and then, oh, no, you're going to still sit here in jail. Because she's still in custody because of the Oklahoma arrest warrant, because she's got arrest warrants everywhere. She was, of course, the person that assisted in stealing all the horses from the Southern Arkansas University rodeo team. And she, the way that the story is playing out is it was some sort of, remember, who was the chick that, Nancy Kerrigan, that got hit in the knee by her competitor?
Yep. Tonya Harding.
And who was that? Tonya Harding. And then, you know, her boyfriend and his boyfriend's friend and all these, like, family people kind of got it together and planned this attack. Well, much like J.C. Ray Jackson, like, her stepdad and her mom were involved in this whole family thing. Well, the story is, I almost think that except for promoting these awful, awful people, it would make an incredible movie. Because this piece of white trash or alleged stole horses and then had her family slaughter one of them. And I'm talking like shoot it and then butcher it. This one horse named Credit Card, who there may or may not be some alleged it's kind of like the guy that turned on the girl and she's bitter and he was always winning all the rodeo things. And so it's a drama. This is major drama, and it would make for a made-for-TV Lifetime movie of the week. But she's still in jail. She's going to face a hearing today, whether she's going to get extradited to Oklahoma. I don't know if you call it extraditing when it's just a couple states over. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. Going to pay for it.
And a couple of notes here before we call it a day is this Friday is the last really bad ads we're going to be able to do for a while because we have a special episode next Friday and then we're into holiday week. So I've been trying to do and I think we'll accomplish this week is get some really fantastic prizes for like the top three this week. So I'm working on that right now. I have one or two commitments. I'm just waiting for one or two more. So we should have announcement tomorrow. All I can say is you're going to want to get some really good, really bad ads in this week. Dig them up. Check out your Craigslist. Go on the Dream Horse. Find the really bad, really bad ads, really good, really bad ads, and send them to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com because we're going to have some tremendous prizes for you this week. You're going to want to pay attention to that as the week goes along, and we'll have some good stuff. What else did we have to – is there anything else we had to make a note of?
I was busted. My mother was listening, and she says, no, I did not know about Peter or Piper. Now,
you got caught.
I know. And, of course, being the people in Decatur, Georgia, or, you know, a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, actually in the downtown area owning horses, we every year were slated to do the nativity scene at the church because I had wild ponies. I don't know why they wanted me to put some ponies in their front yard. Anyway, we had to bring the pony into the church one time, so my mom's reminding me of that. I'm sure she could tell the story better than me. But, yes, my pony went to church. My pony was in the nativity scene and had to stand there for hours and was very unhappy about it every year.
Yeah, pony standing still, not such a good thing.
No.
I got a little tiny donkey they could use next time. The problem is you'd have to put him like on a stepladder for anybody to see him in the back row.
Oh, bless his little heart.
Hey, tomorrow we're going to have Shauna Koresh on, who's going to talk about horses that won't tie, and she's going to give you some suggestions on helping those horses that just don't want to tie. Plus, it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV tomorrow. So we have more good stuff for you tomorrow and as the rest of the week goes on. We hope you continue to join us here every day on Horses in the Morning. We want to thank our sponsors, Omega Alpha and PocketStable.com. That's it, Jamie. Let's call it a day and start again tomorrow.
Now
all right, we wish you well.
Caused an uproar with the listeners with the whole slaughter thing and got them all going at each other. We'll just leave them today.
Good luck, y'all. I said my piece on there, and I'm going to leave it alone. Everybody, we miss Frankie. We wish you a speedy recovery. Everybody, please remember to spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, did you remember to shorten your reins this weekend?